Hey there, and welcome to the His Beloved Catholic Podcast. I'm Megan Copeland.
And I'm Kendra Bartlett, and we are two best friends that we live right across the street from each other. And between us, we have 10 kids, a ton of redheads.
Yes, we do. We run a ministry in Austin, Texas called His Beloved, and our mission is to invite women, children, teenagers into an encounter with Jesus and to bring revival in the Catholic Church. And we are just so excited you are here.
Come join us.
Hey friends, welcome back to His Beloved. I'm Megan, and man, we're glad you're here. Every single week that we get to share with you is just the best. So today, it's going to be a little different than what we normally do. Kendra and I put on a women's retreat in the Austin area a couple weeks ago. We did a whole episode on it. If you want to go back and hear that, it was called Draw Near. And we really felt like this was one of the most powerful things we'd ever been a part of. And we just saw the women open up their hearts and receive the Holy Spirit in a way that was so refreshing and so exciting. And the Lord really created this retreat of drawing people into intimacy with Him. And so we felt like maybe we should share with you the talks from that weekend so that you can have the same experience that those ladies did. And so today's episode is going to be the first talk of our retreat, and it was called, Who is He to You? And so this talk was all about, who is Jesus? Who is He to me personally? I'm the one that gave the talk, so I get to share who He is to me, but also just like getting to know His heart and the way He loves us. And so it was like, sometimes we focus on intimacy with Jesus in terms of like who we are, our identity, but this one was His identity. Who is He? And of course, He's going to be different to everybody, right? But this is how He shows up for me. And the cool thing about Jesus is there's so many different facets of His identity. There's no way we could ever name them all or put them all in a box because He's just outside of our understanding and our human limits. So I hope you enjoy this. I hope it draws you into the heart of the deep love that God has for you. Bye, guys. All right. So y'all ready? Y'all ready for this? Okay. So I have been praying a lot about this day, and I already told you that I feel like revival's coming from you guys. No pressure. But I kept asking the Lord, like, what do you want for them? And what I kept hearing is He wants you to be expectant. I think sometimes we come to retreats and we don't really know what to expect. And sometimes they're like, don't expect anything. And that's fine. But sometimes we think we're just going to come in, we're going to sit, we're going to maybe hear a little bit about Jesus, we're going to leave, we're going to maybe make some friends. That's not what today is going to be like. Like what He kept telling me is He wants to pursue each and every one of your hearts. And He wants you to be expectant that He's going to show up for you today. Not just for the person next to you, not for like a couple people in the room who like really experienced Jesus, for every single person here. So what does that look like? What does that sound like? What does it mean to like be expectant that you're going to experience Jesus? If those words scare you, that's okay. You're still in the right place, okay? A lot of us are not used to experiencing Jesus. And a couple of weeks ago, I actually was here that weekend, so you might have heard me say some of this. The readings at Mass, Jesus said, who do they say that I am, to Peter? And it really struck me when I heard those readings at Mass, because I was like, yeah, that's what the Lord has asked me to talk about today. Who do they say that I am? And I think most people can answer that question. Who do we say that Jesus is? Like, give me a name for Jesus. Healer. Friend. Messiah. Friend. Savior. So and even friend, I would say, is more on the other end of the spectrum. But we know who Jesus is, right? We've read about Him. We know He died on the cross for us. We know those things. But then the next question is, who do you say that I am? Friend. That I hope that's your answer. But if it's not your answer yet, and you're like, I have no idea, then you're in the right place. Because what He wanted me to tell you today is, and this is a talk I've never given before, and we have no idea where the Lord's going to go with it, so buckle up, people. So He wanted me to tell you who He is to me so that you might know who He is to you. And sometimes I can't put it quite into words what he is to me, who he is to me. Sometimes that's harder than I have like human language for. But what he desires for you this weekend is for you, like we named it Draw Near long before we knew what the talks were going to be about, because that's just kind of how the Lord works in our lives sometimes. He really wants you to draw near. That's not just some name we put on a flyer. It's the goal. It's the goal of today, but it's the goal of a human life. We were created on purpose, for purpose, to know him, to live with him, to be so in tune with the Lord that I don't know where he stops and I begin. Like, we're just intertwined. And one of my favorite things is to think about the garden. Do you guys ever think about the garden? Maybe I'm weird. I love to think about the Garden of Eden, because in the garden, everything was perfect. And it says that Adam and Eve would walk with God in the cool of the evening. And I just picture them like in this relationship, like this triangle full of love. There's no sin. There's no pain. There's no heartache. They are fully united to the heart of the Father. That's what we are created for, 100%. It's what we're meant to be, is so united to the heart of the Father that he's part of every single thing we do. And there's a really cool Matt Maher song called The Garden. And he says, in the cool of the night, you come and meet me. And all my fears fade away. And he says, you're so close to me that I forgot that the fall ever happened. That's the goal. I mean, obviously, that doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect, right? But that means when things come arise, when they arise that are bad, I want to be so close to him that I have no separation whatsoever, that I don't even know that the fall has happened. So that's what we're doing today, y'all. All right, so a little bit about me. I have four kids. Two of them are here somewhere around the room over there. I was not raised Catholic. I was actually raised Methodist, kind of. Some of y'all probably heard part of these stories, but for those of you that haven't, I feel like you need to hear it too. So I wasn't raised in much of a faith at all. I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know anything about scripture or about prayer. I was very much raised by the world. What the world said to be good is what I believed was good. And my mom, I love her dearly. You know, she could only give me what she had, and she didn't have a faith to pass on to me. So even though she was an amazing mom, she wasn't able to give me this relationship with Jesus. And so the world gave me a lot of, it offered me a lot of other things. And I made mistake after mistake after mistake. And luckily, I married an amazing man who is Catholic, and that kind of brought me near the Catholic Church, but I still wasn't sold. I didn't understand. I didn't know what was happening with the kneeling and the standing and the sitting, and I mean, have you ever, to not be Catholic and walk into a Catholic church is terrifying, y'all. I'm like, what are they doing? Everybody knows what they're doing. I don't know what to do. So it was scary in the beginning, and then I would say I kind of grew like a resentful heart in a way. I got a little angry. I'm like, I don't need to be Catholic. These people don't know what they're doing. They don't love Jesus. Okay, if I hear one more person say they left the Catholic Church to find Jesus, you guys, I'm going to throw something against the wall. Jesus is here. We need people to know that this is where they can find Jesus. Yes, but I didn't know that back then. And so I had a friend who had a huge, like, overnight conversion, and she was my best friend from when we were in high school, and I saw everything about her change. She went from being this kind of wild, crazy girl to filled with joy, filled with love. She was, like, overflowing, and during this whole process, her brother was really sick with leukemia, but she was so joy-filled, and I said, I don't know what she has, but I want it. How do I get some of that? And I knew, obviously, that it was Jesus, because she told me that part, but I didn't know how to get there, right? Like, I don't know how to go from where I am to where you are. And what I didn't know at the time is I didn't have to do much, because the Lord was already pursuing me. He was already so near to me. Sometimes I tell teenagers that, like, it's almost like he's, like, right behind us, and he's like, hi, I'm right here. You don't see me. And he's just waiting for us to turn around. And that's kind of where I was in that stage of my life. And I was angry and I was bitter and I just wasn't a happy person. And so I decided I'm gonna find Jesus one way or another. I don't know how to do this, but I'm gonna find Jesus. And so I started trying to go to a different church, and my husband said, just wait. So when I started researching outside of the Catholic Church, that made him start researching his faith. And I asked question after question, and they were mean questions, you guys. And he didn't have answers for them. Like, he didn't know. So I always tell people, if you have somebody in your life who's questioning the Catholic Church, answer the questions, because you never know where they may end up someday. And because who would have thought I would be here now? And so he said, okay, like on a last-ditch effort, if you really feel like you don't want to go to the Catholic Church anymore, just come with me to this retreat. It's called Christ Renews His Parish. After that, you're done. You can go. And I was like, okay, check. I'm done. So he went to CHRP. And then he walked in the door, because it's like men's go first and then women go later. So he walked into the door of our apartment, and I remember I was so angry that day. I was like, he's been gone all weekend. He's not answering my phone calls. I don't know where he is. Why won't he listen to me? And he walks in the door, and he looks at me, and he just starts bawling. And this is my big, tough, burly mountain man I've never seen cry, not even when our children were born. And I was like, what did they do to you in that church? I was so confused. Like, I didn't understand it. He had a Bible in his hand. I didn't know what was going on. But I would say from his conversion, like, it kind of softened me a little bit. I was like, okay, I'll be a little more open to what's happening here. And I went to the retreat 2 weeks later, and I was completely blown away by the Holy Spirit. I was completely blown away by Jesus. It was everything I'd been searching for my entire life in that place. And I knew that I was home. I knew that this is what I needed was Jesus. But even after that, like a retreat, where do you go from there, right? And the good thing about CHRP is there's like a 6-month formation period. And I think that's where it really, really changed my heart, was that 6 months. But afterwards, I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know anything. And so I would pray the lyrics to a song called Love Song for a Savior from Jars of Clay, because I knew song lyrics, right? And it was, I want to fall in love with you. I want to fall in love with you. And so that was my prayer over and over. Like, Lord, I don't know how to fall in love with you. I'm not even sure I know what that means. But I want to fall in love with you. Can you make that happen? And I think I was also fully surrendered. I think sometimes we walk into these kind of situations and we have like maybe a little bit of our hearts open, or we're like taking one step in. I was at a place where I was all in. And maybe it's because I had experienced the Holy Spirit and I wanted what God had for me, but my other prayer was, Lord, whatever you want, I'm all in. And I still pray that prayer. I prayed it 5 times today. Lord, whatever you want, I'm all in. Whatever that means in my life, whatever you want to do for my life, full surrender, I'm in. And I think that's why he was able to come in and like take up my life so quickly. So I changed very quickly overnight. If you'd known me before that, you would be shocked at who I am now. And so all of a sudden, I started like running hard towards the Lord. I fell in love with the Catholic Church. I became Catholic a year later. I became a youth minister like 2 years after that. Like, I went real fast into full-on ministry. And I really, really feel like their Lord has put an anointing on my heart and on my life to bring people into deep relationship with him. I think that's my job in the world, is to say, I have had this experience and you can too. And not that just you can too, but that the Lord is calling you, that the church is calling you. Catholics, we're ready. It's time. If you look at the lives of the saints, they knew the Lord deeply. They didn't just do devotions. They had deep, intimate relationships with Jesus. And so that's what he's calling us to right now. During that time, there was another part of my story is my friend who had her big conversion posted on MySpace, is how long ago this was, a quote. Some of y'all are like, I don't know what that means. That's okay. She posted on MySpace a St. Augustine quote, and it was, our hearts will forever be restless until they rest in you, O Lord. And it struck me even back then, because I was like, my heart is restless. I want to find rest, and I don't know how to do that. I later on heard the rest of that scripture, or that writing of St. Augustine. And it's actually the lyrics of Alive Again, the Matt Maher song. Do you guys know that song? And the first time I heard that song, I was blown away too. So I want to read these to you, because when I read this for the very first time, man, it put words to everything I'd ever felt. It put words to my entire conversion. Too late have I loved you. O beauty so ancient, O beauty so new, too late have I loved you. You were within me, but I was outside myself, and there I sought you. In my weakness, I ran after the beauty of the things you have made, but you were with me, and I was not with you. The things you have made have kept me from you, the things which would have no being unless they existed in you. You have called, you have cried, and you have pierced my deafness. You radiated forth, you have shined out brightly, and you have dispelled my blindness. You have sent forth your fragrance, and I have breathed it in, and I long for you. I have tasted you, and I hunger you, and I hunger for you, and I thirst for you. You have touched me, and I ardently desire your peace. So what he's saying is, why did it take me so long? Why? And I remember having that feeling over and over, Lord, what took me so long? And I have to believe that it was in his timing, right? Because if I'd had a big conversion before all of this, I probably wouldn't be here in the Catholic Church. So I'm glad I'm here. But I think of all those years I lived without knowing him. All the pain and the heartache and the things that I didn't have the Lord to turn to in those times. And so, yeah, late have I loved you. You search for me. I thirst for you. Like, he was pursuing my heart that whole time, and I didn't know it. But then once I had a taste, I wanted more. There was a hunger. There was a deep thirst in my heart that was like, more of you, Lord, more of you, Lord, more of you, Lord. And man, is it fun, y'all. I think sometimes the faith can be like, oh, well, we got to be Catholic because blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, y'all, it's an exciting adventure. It's an exciting journey, and it's so much stinking fun. So I want to invite you into that today. If you've never known a love like that, a love like what St. Augustine said, it's available to you. When I first had my conversion, I was married to an amazing man, as I said, and I'd never known a love like that. I had never been loved the way that God could love me. And it's unlike anything this world can offer, but it's what you're created for, and you deserve to have that deep love too. So another part of my, I feel like my mission right now is to teach women how to hear the voice of God. So I'm like, should I make you raise your hand? I don't know. You can just answer in your head, how many of you have heard the voice of God? Some people are raising their hands anyways. It's good for you. Good for you. It's okay. I asked some people on Instagram last summer, how many of you have heard the voice of God? And these are like my deep, good, holy Catholic friends. And so many people said no, never. And then of the people who said yes, I said, when was the last time you heard the voice of God? Was it today? Was it last week, a month, a year, years ago? And most people said years ago. I'm here to tell you he's speaking to you every single day of your life. Every single day of your life, he is trying to touch your heart. And it's not just in these big retreat events, right? Like, it's at home. It's in the tiny little things. Kendra sees him all the time in the sunset. He is speaking to your heart. But what we have to do is learn how to attune our ears to his heart. And this is what makes God so cool. So as we're praying for this retreat, right, Kendra and I hadn't seen each other in a couple of weeks. I don't know why. Oh, we live across the street from each other. Did we tell you that? And also Rachel, our other, I don't know where Rachel is. She's back there. We're all three neighbors, so we see each other a lot, right? And we get to really journey together. But we hadn't, like, had any deep conversations in a week or two. Life had been busy. And we were here with Father Piega, and we were talking about this retreat. And Kendra said, you know, the Lord is really putting on my heart the story of Elijah. And I was like, me too. Like, that's what the Lord has been putting on my heart too. But that's how he operates. He tells somebody something, he tells somebody else something, and he starts these like waves, right? And these fires. And so he wanted you to hear about Elijah today. And Elijah's maybe one of those stories in the Bible that kind of gets, you know, passed over. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't. But he was one of like the best prophets that have ever lived, right? Like, he was an amazing prophet, so much so that he's talked about all through the New Testament. Like, he was one of the, you know, at one point they think that Jesus might be Elijah who's come back. Like, he was an amazing prophet, right? And so, but during this time, there was a lot of turmoil in Israel, and he was just heartbroken. And I get that. As somebody who wants to bring people to the faith, he was frustrated. He was mad. He was like, but you guys, you're missing out on all that God has for you. And he got to a point of deep, deep sadness, almost maybe like the level of like depression. Some people might even say he was like suicidal because he said, Lord, just take me now. And he goes into this cave and he's all alone and he's just pouring his heart out to God and saying, I can't do this anymore. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. And you know what? That's a good prayer. Any prayer where you're praying your heart out to God and saying, I can't do this. I need you to do it for me. That's a good prayer. And he says, Lord, just take me. Now that part's not a very good prayer. And here's what I love what the Lord says to him, okay? Ready for this? The Lord tells him, an angel appears, and the Lord tells him three things. Take a nap. Eat a snack. So what's the third one? Is there a third one? Anybody remember? It's something in that genre too. It's like eat, sleep, take care of yourself is basically what he tells him. And don't quit, right? And so he goes to sleep, and an angel brings him a cake. It's probably not really a cake. It's probably like a bread, but it says cake in scripture, so we're going to go with cake. So he brings him a cake, and he wakes up, and he says, you need to eat this. And he's too tired. He's too exhausted, and he goes back to sleep. And the angel wakes him up again. Like, think of the tenderness of the Lord in this moment. He's just, like, caring for him in this sweet, tender way. And so he's pursuing him like, it's okay. It's okay. You don't have to fight this battle on your own. I'm here for you. And so then he wakes up. He eats the cake. He drinks some water. Maybe that was the third thing. Drink some water. And he gets his strength back up. And then the angel says, the Lord is going to speak to you. Be ready to listen. And then there's like this earthquake that shakes the earth. And it says, and the voice of God was not in the earthquake. And then it says, a mighty wind came rushing in, and the voice of God was not in the mighty wind. And then it says, there was a still small voice in his heart, and that's where the voice of God is. Now, does that mean he can't speak through those other things? No, he can speak through whatever he wants to speak through. But he was trying to speak to that still small voice in his heart. And so that's where I want you guys to live right now, is in that still small voice. What does it sound like? Have you ever heard the Lord speak in that place? Have you ever heard the Lord say your name like Elijah did that day? What does your name sound like when the Lord whispers it to your heart? Because he does. What does he call you? He has a name for you. So, you know, it takes time, right? It takes time to like really get to a point where you're like, oh, I know what that voice sounds like. So let's do some practicals. Okay, here's some ways we hear the voice of God. You ready for this? Okay. One, we hear him in our hearts, right? What does that sound like? I want you to say in your mind your first, middle, and last name. That's what the voice of God sounds like. Did you know that? Sometimes it might sound like a big booming God voice, but that's very rare. I've heard it one time in my whole life. The Lord spoke to me in an audible voice. Almost every other time, he uses our own voices in our heads to speak to us. And so listen to that. Sometimes I think we're so concerned with like, did I hear God? Did I not hear God? And we start second guessing, right? Well, that could have just been my own thoughts and my own ideas. But I bet a lot of the times it's not our own thoughts and our own ideas. And the way we can know whether or not it's the voice of God or the voice of ourselves or the voice of the evil one is what we feel like afterwards. Do you feel peace? Do you feel love? Do you feel joy? Does something just pop into your mind out of nowhere and you're like, I don't know where that came from? Pray into that a little bit because it's probably God trying to reach you in that moment. Now, are you hearing negative things like you're not good enough? You're not ever going to survive this? God doesn't speak that way. He does not speak that way. He might convict you about a certain thing. Like he might say, let's not do this behavior anymore. But he's not going to look at you and call you bad and call you wrong. He does not induce shame in that way. So if you hear that, that's not of God. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie. And you renounce it right there in that moment. But get used to hearing him. Okay, there's a couple other ways we hear from him. One is through our friends, through people around us, through pastors, through sermons, through books. We can hear him through scripture is another way. And then sometimes you can actually like audibly hear, which is really cool. And sometimes people can see visions. And so sometimes like when I'm praying and I close my eyes, there might be something that pops up in my mind's eye and I pray into that more. Like, oh, Lord, all of a sudden I see a picture. Is that of you? And just ask him, is that of you, God? And then keep going with it. And sometimes really cool people see visions in real life. I have never seen that. I don't know. But it happens. It actually can happen. So I want to tell you some of the ways that I, like, who is God to me? And who God is to me is probably going to be different than who God is to you. But he's so multifaceted. There's no way we can put him in a little box. So who's God to me? He is gentle. He was gentle to Elijah, wasn't he? And recently I was praying, and when I was a little girl, I have one big brother. He's 6 years older than me, and he died of leukemia about 8 years ago, I think. But when we were little, I was basically alone a lot. I love my big brother, but he didn't want anything to do with me. He never wanted to play with me. And so I would play by myself a lot. And I didn't have any neighbors. I didn't have anybody that I can go across the street to. And so what I would do, you guys, this is so sad. I would get out like Monopoly or like a game like that. And I would play by myself. And I would do like my person. And then I would pretend to be another person. And I would move the pieces because I was a lonely child. And the other day I was praying with someone and I asked the Lord, I can't remember what the question was that I asked, but there was some question about my childhood or something that we were supposed to pray into. And he showed me a vision. And the vision was of me as a little girl playing by myself one of those games. And he said, I used to always play with you. Like, tell me that's not a loving God. And I think we miss so much of him just being near us, like just being a part of what we're doing. And of course, as a child, I wouldn't have known, right? And it wasn't just like, there wasn't like a sadness in his voice. It was almost like a fondness, like, I loved when you used to play by yourself. That was really cute. So I'd come and sit and play with you. But he also, I think, wanted to love in my heart in that way. Okay, I also think he is fierce, you guys. He's the lion and the lamb. He's both. I don't know how that works, but it happens. He is both, and he will fight for you. I know it because I've experienced it. He has spent the last 10 years of my life fighting hard for me. We have been through more medical upheaval than you can ever imagine in my family. Tons of weird diagnoses of things that doctors cannot solve. It first was with my children, and it was took about 7 years for us to make it to the other side. And I'm thrilled to say that God is good and he has given us a miracle and he has saved my kids. One of them is my redhead. Raise your hand. Say hey. Hey there. So she is 100% healthy and back to normal because of the goodness of God. And if you want to hear that whole story, go listen to episode 1 of our podcast. It's a pretty powerful story. And then after they got better, then my husband got really, really sick. And to the point where it almost ripped our family apart. It was bad, 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 bad. And I don't have time to tell you these whole stories. That one's on our podcast as well. But I do know that in those moments, I spent a lot of time in deep suffering. And a lot of time, as I call it, on the bathroom floor. And I think I really was like on the bathroom floor a lot. But I call them my bathroom floor moments where no one in the world understood what I was going through. And even today, if I stood here and tried to explain these illnesses to you, you won't understand it. Only people who lived inside my home could really have understood what we were dealing with. But you know who understood me? Jesus did. And I'm not saying that to be trite, like, oh, God knows everything and he loves you. Like, no, for real. I was held together by the love of God. When no one in this world could be what I needed them to be, God was. And I learned what it means to cling to the hem of his garment. I learned what it meant to not be able to take a breath or take a step without him. And there were some days where I would be, knocked over by horrible pain and heartache. And then, like, the Lord would come and he would give me grace. And then an hour later, I would be like, oh, I'm doing much better. And Kendra would come to me and she'd say, how are you doing today? And I'd be like, oh, it's been a really good day. And then I'm like, oh, wait a second. No, it wasn't. It was a really bad day. But the Lord is so good. And he comforted me so much in those moments that I would forget what had gone on before. So if that's where you are and you're in a place of deep suffering, I ask you to offer it to the Lord. Surrender, full surrender. God, the scripture that I learned during that time is that the Lord will fight for you. You just have to be still. We can't try to control. We can't try to grasp. We just have to say, here it is, Lord. I give it to you. Exodus 14:14. And it's written on my arm. Because you know what? Sometimes we need to remember that the Lord is good and he will fight for us. All right. He is steadfast. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's a song that says that no one ever cared for me like Jesus. And I know what that feels like. And there is no one who can ever care for me like Jesus. Okay, and also, he is funny. Is he funny to y'all? Please tell me that I'm not the only person in the world that thinks he's funny. So, and I don't mean just like, oh, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways, kind of funny. No, I mean like funny. Like when you're at a, you know, like at an event and you're supposed to be really serious and you have a friend next to you who's like elbowing you and making, cracking jokes the whole time and you're like, you're gonna get me in trouble. He's that kind of funny. And Kendra knows, because she'll see me just like start laughing all of a sudden. And when I try to tell the joke or whatever the Lord just said to me to someone else, it's never funny when I say it out loud. It's like an inside joke that only he and I get, right? Kendra will go, ha, 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 when I try to tell her. She's like, that wasn't funny. But it's hysterical in the moment. And I swear he's just getting funnier and funnier as I go on. But there's just like this, like back and forth, kind of like little banter. And everyone's going to be like, you see what I did there? You saw that, right? And I hear other people, we're in this class where people like tell, you know, we pray a lot and we speak prophetically and all the things. And people will say what the Lord put on their heart. And they'll be like, thine own power to you. And I'm like, that is not what he sounds like to me. He does not sound like the King James Bible. I'm sorry. He does not. He sounds like my best friend who's like cracking jokes and elbowing me in the side. And I thought about like trying to tell y'all some of the funny stories, but they won't be funny, so it's not worth it. But just know that he is funny. And he is trustworthy. No matter how far I wander away, no matter what I get myself into, he is always there waiting for me to come home. No matter how hard whatever our family is facing, I know he's not going to take me that far to leave me. He would never. He would never desire to put me out somewhere and ask me to step into something and then just say, oh, you're on your own now. That's just not his nature. His nature is to walk with me. It is to hold my hand. All he wants is for us to walk step in step with him. Not behind him, not ahead of him, but just like the very next step. Like, come on, come on. We're going this way. He just wants to lead us like a good shepherd would. And he wants us to trust that he is good and he is trustworthy. A couple months ago, Kendra was going through kind of hard time. And she said to me, I keep hearing that the Lord is reckless. What does that mean? Reckless sounds scary to me. This is a really funny moment. And I wish we'd had this on video. Not funny, haha, but like cool funny. And she said, all right, Megan, right now, we're in the kitchen, right now. I want you to just speak prophetically and tell me what reckless means. And I'm like, I don't know what reckless means. She goes, go. The Lord told me you're going to do it. And I was like, okay, all right, let's go. And then I did. I opened my mouth and like, blah, all this amazing stuff came out that it wasn't from me because that's who the Lord is. And but I think what it was is like, the Lord's not reckless in the sense that he's dangerous. It's not like if we say yes to him, then he's going to pull the rug out from underneath us tomorrow. That's just not who he is. Now, does that mean bad stuff's not going to come our way? It might, but he's not causing that in your life. And so reckless to me doesn't mean like, oh no, you better protect your heart, you better protect yourself. Reckless means he's mind-blowing. He's exciting. He's dazzling. There's another part of that St. Augustine quote that says, in my deepest suffering, I saw you, Lord, and you dazzled me. I know that feeling. I know what it feels like to be on the bathroom floor and have the Lord blow my mind. And I've seen it countless times since then. He is so full of wonders. He's so full of excitement. He's so exciting. Way more than the world could be exciting. The Lord is so exciting. And we're in this class right now that's asking us to like really trust the Lord like that. And so we've seen miracles. We've seen words of knowledge where all of a sudden the Lord puts something on my heart that's meant for somebody else. And I get to go and I get to say to them, this is what the Lord thinks of you. And it knocks their socks off. And it's so much stinking fun. In fact, we had a miracle happen today that I don't think is my story to tell, but maybe you'll get to hear about it later. And I hope that we do. I've seen miracles in my family. I've seen my my son had a broken arm, and he really wanted to play baseball, really, really badly. And you can't play baseball with a broken arm. And so we prayed over his arm. And he had a cast on, and I put my hands on him, and we prayed. And he said, "Mom, my arm is hot. It's really hot. Like, the cast is burning." And I was like, "Oh, something happened in there." That's exciting. And so so after 2 weeks, the doctor said, "Come in, and we're going to check and see if he needs, like, what he needs from here, right? More casting or whatever." And so we go in for his two-week checkup, and I was certain that it was going to be healed. I just knew it. Like, sometimes the Lord just gives me that feeling. And sure enough, he was completely healed, to the point where if you break a bone, you can usually see healing on an x-ray. It was like it never happened. 100% never happened. Now, you tell my son, who's 10 years old, like, he knows what miracles are. He knows who God is because he's seen miracles in his life. God also healed my husband on a pilgrimage we were on. He could not walk at all. And it was going to ruin our trip. He had a dislocated shoulder and his, I don't know what was wrong with his knee, something really bad. And we went up to this beautiful shrine in Mexico, and we prayed over him, and he felt a pop, and then all of a sudden he was completely healthy again. And he goes, "Don't freak out. Don't freak out. But I just heard a pop, and I think it might be better." And I was like, "Of course I'm going to freak out. That's amazing. I knew that was going to happen." He was like, "Calm down, calm down." And then he started like jumping up and down. I'm like, "But that's who God is. That's who he is." Now, does that mean every single person we ask for healing for is going to be healed? No. But I can still trust that in his goodness, he will make good out of that somehow. And that he will walk with us through the hardest of times when we need him the most. He will never leave us there alone. All right, guys. So here's what I'm asking you. Can you trust Jesus? Yeah. Like, for real, you don't have to answer this question. This is in your own heart. Can you make a full surrender and yes to Jesus today? I hope that you can. And if you can't be fully surrendered, I hope you put one toe in and say, "Jesus, I've given you this toe." Because sometimes that's all he needs, is just one little in to say yes, and he does all the rest, y'all. He's not asking you to make yourself perfect. He's not asking you to be the best Catholic there was on the planet. All he's asking you to do is say yes to him today. And then just wait to be dazzled, because it's coming. All right, so we're going to do something a little different. We are going to lead you in a prayer activation. And so what this is like, after you hear a talk, now we're going to like put some of that into action, okay? And this one is specifically called an Emmaus prayer. So if you like want to look it up later on, that's what it is. And so basically what it is it's like, let's go back to that place of encounter. Let's go back to a place where we remember experiencing Jesus and say, "Jesus, I want to do this again." Because sometimes we have to go back and remember what he's done in the past so that we know he can do it again in the future, okay? So James is going to play a little song for us. All right, so I want you guys to just like get in a relaxed place, however you want to, and we're just going to open up our hearts, open up our minds, and offer this to Jesus, okay? And then whatever pops up in your mind, if there's a memory that all of a sudden you think of, if there's a word that you hear in your mind, hold on to that, okay? And pray into it and say, "Lord, is that, like, are you trying to show me something?" Okay, you say it out loud with me? Actually, let me just say it for you, and you just say it in your mind. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, remind me of times that I have experienced your presence in special ways. Holy Spirit, please bring these memories of special connection. Lord, please make yourself apparent to me. Refresh my memory of your presence and reestablish a living, interactive connection right here and right now. Going to give you a few minutes just to like pray through that. If you need to do it again, that's fine, or just sit and let the Lord speak to your heart. So you guys, I came and sat down next to Kendra, and she goes, look at this. This is her journal. She said, this is from the day in the kitchen. You want to hear what it means to trust God and be reckless? Ready? Here we go. These are the things we could remember to write down, but we didn't get it all. Reckless trust is not dangerous. It's not out of control, and it's not wild. It's knowing his heart so well that no matter where he takes you or what he asks of you, it is from his good heart for good. Trust and fear cannot coexist. Or we think reckless means without caution, without thinking of the consequences, but that's not right. It means full surrender to his goodness. When you trust recklessly in his love, his fire in you explodes in your life and in the people around you. If you put God in a box, then you're not talking about God anymore. That's what he wanted you to know. You can trust him. He is good. He wants to encounter you today, just like he encountered you in whatever memory came to your mind just now. He loves you. He desires you. He's wooing you, just like a young lover would. He wants your heart. So we're going to spend a few minutes and have a little small group time. We're thinking like 3 or 4 people maybe. If you have more than that, it's going to be hard for everybody to share. But just whoever's closest to you. And we're going to start by sharing what God is doing in your heart right now. We firmly believe that sharing about what God's doing in your heart is powerful. And it helps others to hear what God's doing for them. And what keeps coming to me over and over and over and over lately is that the devil is defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we got to share our testimony. Hey friends, we feel like we have a mission on this podcast. The Lord has put on our heart that he wants us to partner with him to bring revival in the Catholic Church, to invite people into living fully alive as Catholics in the Holy Spirit and the Mass and the sacraments. And we feel like this podcast is a big part of that. We would love if you feel called to this mission too, if you would partner with us. We're realizing that we need a little funds to make this podcast the best thing it can be. We need to hire a real life podcast editor who can make it sound as wonderful as we would like for it to. We also would love any sponsorship. If you have a business that you would like to advertise on our podcast, let us know. We would love that so much. So if you're interested in partnering with us and donating, you can click on the link in our show notes for our Give Butter website. I know it's a weird name, Give Butter, like the food, but it is a fundraising website for nonprofits, and we are a 501c3. And so if you donate to us, you will receive a receipt that you can file your taxes with. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. It's so hard to ask for money, and this is not something we take lightly, but we feel like this mission is where God has called us to. We feel like this is where he desires the church to move forward in, and we would love for you to be a part of it. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us this week. Every chance we get to meet with you and talk about Jesus just brings so much joy to our hearts. I pray that the revival is coming, and I pray that the revival is coming through you. Did you know that you're part of this? I pray that every single day you grow more in love with Jesus, you hear his voice more, you follow him more, and I pray that this podcast is helping you a little bit along that way. If you are liking what you're hearing, we would love for you to share it with a friend. We would love for you to make a review on your podcast app, Apple, Spotify, whatever podcast app you use, and we would love for you to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and email us if you ever have any questions or you just want to share what God did in your heart today during the episode. See you next week.